Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 265. I had to take one of them out. I couldn't stand it. I still can't hear myself well enough with this mic. Technical things that a 3-year-old wouldn't understand. So it's back to a full house. But let's get to them. Joining me this week, as always, it's John.
Hey, everybody, it's John here, just relaxing on a Thursday. It is my my weekend is here. It's tomorrow. I got tomorrow off, so I'm going to be having a few beer during the podcast tonight. Coincidentally, I'm going to let you guys in on the gag. I'm currently doing a small Periscope while I'm talking right now, showing the audience my beer and me with my headset and talking to the WonderPod Online crowd. So follow WonderPod at WonderPod Online, everybody, on Twitter, and download the podcast.
Is it? Yeah, because the podcast does come out. They can't hear me, but you get.
Yeah, they can't hear you. But
you're getting well into that. Yeah,
well,
but podcast audience can hear me. Stop confusing me.
Yeah. I hope everybody, everyone watching me on Periscope, I'm sorry about the one-sided conversation that you're currently experiencing, but it's just the kind of thing where I'm trying this for the first time. I thought it'd be kind of funny to give it a go.
You can't hear
him.
I'm going to be pulling this ear monitor or ear thing in and out of my ear all night. I've been using over-ear headphones for fucking far too. You still oh, wait, we'll get to you in a minute. Never mind, Glaze. That's kind of cool, though. You have really I actually watched one.
Yeah, well,
I am such a snob, though. I have to admit, first time ever. I'm generally not this bad. And this has a good ending, John, so don't panic, because I've tried watching other people's Periscopes, and it's like I'm being thrown face first off a cliff because they don't have a concept of, oh, look, we'll look over here. And it's like, man, I don't get motion sick, but I'm about to vomit sitting in my office. You do an excellent job of panning the camera back and forth in a way that's not, like, jarring, which I admit, as much as it will make me shut off a Periscope or a Vine video, I also am well aware how fucking difficult it is. Yeah. I've shot video with my phone, and it's not easy. You forget that, A, you have to pan slowly, and B, when anytime you walk, there's going to be jiggle because there's, it doesn't have the doodads and gadgets that a, like a Nikon D5 does, or a, not Nikon D5, a or even, bigger, any kind of Red camera, it doesn't have any kind of absorption to it. I'm struggling to think of the correct word. Dampening, I guess.
The Periscope thing has been fun. I mean, just doing the few scopes that I have. I mean, the talking about wrestling and getting people involved in a conversation. Someone's asking me, where's my beer? But what you said is true. Like, I try to keep the camera steady. What I tried to do was actually mount it on some sort of a stand, which I have it on right now. So, because I've noticed that if you people with free hand holding the camera, it gets very pixelated. And if it's steady and I move, it's much better,
Right.
And I like having things in the background. And when I'm on Periscope, I like having a topic to talk about rather than just, sitting there looking at the waiting for someone to comment and hoping that someone notices, how pretty I am. Those kinds of things that you see on Periscope all the time. Luckily, no one wants to see my bobs, which is shorthand for boobs on Periscope, because there's plenty of people out there who just, it's all they do no matter who is on there. It's just, the trolls are just crazy sometimes.
Well, that's the problem, though. I mean, there are women who get flack on Twitch and on Periscope and Vine and anything they try. Mm-hmm. Because of, maybe how they present themselves. And there's some who it's like, really? Really? You want me to take you seriously? You sound like a Valley Girl out of Legally Blonde. This is, so there are some who kind of perpetuate the stereotype. This is like tap dancing in a minefield. I'm going to fucking do it anyway. But there's also ones who are awesome gamers, and that's the majority. And then you have dudes who are idiots. And I like the fact that the dudes who are idiots are being pelted down faster and faster these days. Because We've talked about it 100 times, John. That to me, the content is, are you entertaining? You know, like I don't need face cam necessarily. Like I think it was one of your wrestling ones that you were doing with, and I wasn't fast enough to get in there to get into like the chat, and I'm too damn lazy to be bothered with it. I like lurking. That sounded way creepier than I intended it to. But anyway, and so, but I like the fact that people are kind of shaming the man baby idiots. But you're absolutely right in that. People at times want you to look at them, which isn't necessarily wrong.
No, I mean, it's a way to
It's.
do it. If you're bored and you just want a conversation, and but I mean, sometimes you're looking deep into the rabbit hole if you're hoping that someone's going to have a proper conversation. I mean, if I bother to chat with somebody, I do try to engage them on some level other than, you know, how old are you? Or, and, oh, it gives me the douche chills when people ask other people their ages, because you know what they're thinking, right? Or the or what they're
ASL.
wonder you know what they're
Yeah.
wondering.
Quiet over there. You're still in the penalty box. You haven't been introduced yet.
So,
Giving away the big surprise.
I'm gonna sign off to my scopers because this is a heavily one-sided conversation, and maybe sometime we'll get something going with Periscope, a little more
Now that
podcast
you know
friendly.
why it's such a pain in the ass, and I get more distracted on my end when we're doing live streams and stuff,
Yeah.
because this is so many things to pay attention to, and you want to, like in that case, it's even worse because you want to focus on your Periscope audience, but at the
That's
same
right.
time you got to focus on this.
Like it's okay. I mean, like if I mute my if you guys are talking and I mute my mic, I can talk to the Periscope people for a minute or something. But you know, the show is kind of long.
Try it again later in the show when we don't have any topics tonight, so this might be a rough night. Although we are going to do, I should say that up front. I want to give Glace like a free week back in. I don't know why. It wouldn't have mattered. It's not like he has to do anything extra. But we will be on Twitch next week.
Well, we will be on Twitch next week, so
I have to.
I'm just going to tell my Periscopers, follow me on Twitter at John Kehoe. Follow WonderPod online, where we talk. Someone asked what the topics were. Normally, we talk about video games, movies, pop culture type stuff, you know. But follow the feeds, and next week we are going to be on Twitch, so check it out and watch the show. I'll have reminders up. I'll probably scope before it so that people know to check it out. Anyway, good night and cheers.
Now we have a one-way conversation on the podcast that I'm totally leaving in.
Yeah, sorry, podcast listeners about that. But now it's over, and I'll
They
just.
feel cheated on.
Well, podcasters, if you download this in the next 48 hours, you can go to my scope and actually watch me do that.
Oh yeah, that's right. They last 48 hours. By the way, that was a ghost. Just ignore the other voice. It's a ghost at the moment.
There's a phantom, yeah, a phantom.
What's that? In that spectate mode when you're like a ghost in first person and you're telling people what to do? Don't go over here. No, actually, Glacinator's done that to me live in a Halo match. Hide, you moron. You suck too badly. I'll win this for us. And you
I'm
know
like the
what?
little robot guy in Halo when you're in Forge mode.
What the fuck was that thing called?
The monitor or something.
Well, I get confused now because it's the Dingle.
Guilty Spark? Is that?
No, that was a game.
Oh.
Maybe
Something
no,
called.
maybe it was Guilty Spark. Ooh, I'll look that up in a second. Okay, so since I am now engaging him and no longer making fun of it, also joining us this week, he's back from his summer vacation. It's Glacinator.
Extended my extremely long extended summer vacation. Yes, I'm back. No,
You should be back.
it's good to be back. Like I was telling them before the show, this felt like half a year that I've been gone. I mean, it's weird when you do something, pretty consistently for a year, for more than 1 year, every week, and then you just sort of drop it for like a month. Oh, but it's slightly embarrassing. I feel like I'm coming back with my tail between my legs. I've
Well,
been absent so long.
that's why I did the bit last week. For those of you that were here last week, John and I made a joke right toward the tail end of the show. Oh yeah, I should give you guys a pro tip after 2.5 years. Don't say anything super witty towards the end of the show, because then I probably won't edit it right, because by the time I'm getting to the last 10 minutes of the show before I slaughter the ways you could reach us, I'm so fucking tired at that point. It's like, oh, John just said he's a woman in a man's body. Nah, leave it in. And keep right on going because I don't care anymore. I bet anything it shows if you listen to the audio files because less dead air gets cut out. Legitimately, that's mostly a joke. I do cut the show that pretty consistently across the board. But anyways, for those of you that weren't here last week, like Glaze, we made the joke that we were going to make Glaze talk for 90 minutes. And part of what kind of got me to say that, I don't remember which one of, I think I said it to you, John, and then we joked about it, was like, when you're in elementary school, a lot of times they, you have to either write like a one page piece of paper or get up in front of the class and do how I spent my summer vacation.
Show and tell.
Yeah, essentially. And I thought, since you're just recently graduated from college, I'd pull some lame, pathetic stunt like that of, okay, Glacinator, how did you spend? I mean, the comedy to me is in that you're a full grown adult who could easily tell me to go fuck myself. I'm not telling you what I did on my summer vacation, even though it's all over Facebook.
I feel like Bart Simpson in the Simpsons intro on the chalkboard. Like, I will not miss more than 4 weeks anymore. I will not miss more than 4 weeks anymore.
I don't know if I've ever asked you guys to give me like a 100% legit, I don't care if you offend me or not, answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it now, and I want 100% legit response because I'm curious. I'll ask you first, Glaze, since you were the most recent missing in action. Do you legitimately miss doing it after you've not done it for a couple weeks? Or do you go, or are you more torn of, God, I want to, do I have to go back and do that
now? I mean, I will say, like, the first week that I don't show up, I'm like, oh, I don't have to do this tonight. You know, I'm sort of a little bit, oh, one less thing to do. You know, but then by the, you know, the second, third, fourth week, I'm like, oh, I should probably really be doing this. And then the fourth week, I'm like, why am I not doing this? Like, this is like my weekly release to like vent about things. So I don't know. It progresses into like needing to do it the longer I don't do it.
What about you, John? Like, when you're gone, you've been gone a couple weeks.
Yeah, I will say that while I'm actually away, I think about it, but I'm okay. It's when I get back and jump back in that I realize that it feels good to be back in so much. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know I missed it until it was gone, kind of stuff.
It's interesting for me because there'll be like a Tuesday or Wednesday sometimes where I'm like, oh fuck, I just want to play video games on Thursday night. Fuck that show. but it's like momentary. But what's changed for me, as you know, as I guess, quote unquote, the producer of the show, is like before, when neither of you could be there, it's like, okay, I got to do a best of, and like, and a lot of this sometimes is last minute because that's how human life works. Things happen, you know, in the moment or without warning, which is what happened to us a couple weeks ago when we didn't have a show. Things happened, and we just didn't do it. That couple weeks ago example is perfect because, like, back in the early days, I would have been like, okay, I got to do something. And then I'd stress myself and just go, like, for 2 or 3 hours trying to put something together. Now, because we've been doing this for so long, it's like, I kind of feel guilty to Pat and to Roger, who I know get it every morning, early morning on Friday. Past that, I'm like, fuck it. We'll be back next week, you know, and I just make the post. I mean, if there's any possibility we can do it, then I'll hold out to see what you guys can come up with. Or I might shoot a text to the other two stooges, see if one of them's still awake or if the other's available. But for the most part, I don't stress about it anymore. We're consistent enough that if we miss a week here or there, I don't think we're cheating the audience any. We might be saving their sanity. Who knows? I still marvel at that guy that saved up like the first 50 episodes of our show for a road business trip and listened to them all while he was on his business trip. Some buddy of Pat's in Calgary. I'm like, oh my God.
What? Someone did that?
Yeah. Don't you remember that? Was that, maybe that was right before your time? Yeah. But a friend of Pat's, like, downloaded all the output we'd done up to that point and listened to him as he went out and did a business trip. And I guess if he enjoyed the content we were making then it was good. Because I can do that too. Like, I save up Rooster Teeth video podcasts, and then I go, okay, I like that cast, because, you know, they have a rotating cast, and some people I enjoy more than others. You know, and so, like, I'll save those up and watch them in a binge. So I guess it kind of makes sense, but at the time it was just so jarring to me that anybody'd want to save up anything I was a part of to listen to. I mean, Chris kind of does the same thing. He waits until there's four or five episodes built up and then listens to it. I got to check with them. Or the Welsh super couple are traveling all over Europe right at the moment, so, or according to Facebook. So maybe I should see if they're going to be back next week before we do a live show. Because even if they can't stay very long, they always enjoy them. Maybe we'll push it off until the first part of, I almost said November. So, can you guys believe it's almost September?
I know, right?
Glaze?
I thought we weren't going to talk about weather today.
No, so, that's the month. That. What has the month got to do with September?
Well, I hope it gets here faster. So I'm wishing that it was September, but
we'll skirt around the weather thing. By the way, both the people that told me that were joking, but I did kind of it did kind of twig me into that we do talk about it a lot.
I do have a funny story though, since we were talking about people listening to things.
The southern summer I remember has been in Louisiana. Let's put it that way. Is that what you're telling
us? Yes.
Fuck, I feel sorry for you, man. I don't miss that shit. One thing I like about being out here, it might get hot, but it don't have the humidity. So you have my sympathies. Fuck that. So, okay, so
they are well received.
Yeah, because that, and you're down there damn near to the ocean too, which just makes it even worse. Okay, so people listening to things.
Yes, so one of the weeks that I was gone, I was at my cousin's wedding, and I have...
Oh yeah, we made a joke about that too, where I made people think for a second maybe it was your wedding. No, like
someone texted me, like on my... like. That one of my friends texted me as I said I was going to my cousin's wedding, and they said the same thing. They're like, "Oh, is it incest?" Like, so it's
no, that's damn it! I didn't think of that joke. No, I didn't make that joke. Like you and your girlfriend were getting married was the angle I went.
Oh!
I cleared it up. I didn't leave it. I thought about leaving it hanging. I thought, I wonder if anybody would listen to where this could potentially stir shit. And then I thought, nah, I'm not gonna do that to him.
Well, speaking of that, so this I was at the reception, and I have three cousins, and the girl cousin is the one that got married, and they're all 10, 15 years older than me, and I only see them maybe once every 4 or 5 years because they all live in Texas, not really close to where I live, so it's just like we see each other during like family events, and that's pretty much it. And so I'm talking to one of my boy cousins. And he comes up to me, and the first thing he says before he like shakes my hand or says hello or anything, he goes, "Yeah, that E3 show. How about that?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I guess it was all right. I mean, there weren't really any games that were announced that I really liked." But he's like, no, not the E3 show. I mean, your E3 show." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, your podcast. I listen to it every week." I'm like, "Whoa." And I haven't talked to this guy for like 5 years, and he's like listening every week. I guess. So I thought that was, I don't know, that blew my mind that family members are listening to this, which slightly worries me as well. So if you're listening, Mark, hello. But yeah. When you said that, you really freaked me out. I didn't know what to say to you.
Hello, Mark. It is nice to have you. You know what's, I've had that happen to me twice. Like Quiglin listening, just because, not so much the why, but if you know Q the way I know Q, as we call him, because Quiglin's so much harder to say, obviously, it just doesn't seem like his kind of thing, I would say. Like, just the audio podcast format. And so when he told me he was listening to it, I'm just like, wow, really? And I had a guy that was a friend of a friend that was a gamer, and he's like, I'm like, oh yeah, I do podcasts. And he's like, oh really, what's it called? I'll listen to it. I'm like, oh, it's called WonderPod. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll listen. Dude listens to shows every week. Occasionally he'll shoot me a text, like, and I'm not close friends with this guy. So he'll talk, oh, yeah, I really like this show, but, you guys said this here, and I think this, and I'm like, ah, I don't want to have a debate with you over text, but thanks for listening. You know? And he's actually got me with the thing that Bernie Burns of Rooster Teeth talks about. He listened to a show, I want to say it was like earlier this year, and he just listened to it. It was one he missed. And so he texted me about a thing, and I had no clue what he was talking about. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, episode like 220 or something. I don't know, whatever. One early one we did this year. He's like, you guys were talking about this, and you were really pissed off. And I'm like, dude, as soon as the show's over, A, I'm no longer pissed off, and B, I don't remember it. So, and I hear the Rooster Teeth guys talking about that all the time. Somebody will watch their video podcast on YouTube and then live tweet to them as they're watching, and they have no fucking idea what they're talking about. But yeah, it's crazy. I think my sister has listened to an episode or two, and she just said that you curse way too much. I'm like, I curse that much in life. What are you talking about? My cursing's actually gotten less on this show, kind of, but I don't know. Have you had any, like, oh, you listen to what we do? Encounters, John? Let's massage our egos more. That's a cool...
I'll have to say that I don't think so. No, other than Roger, who I know for a fact listens every week, I don't think I had... People have brought it to my attention that they do listen. I think when I first came on, a few people listened to it because I brought it to everybody's attention on Facebook. I think that I was on a podcast. But on a weekly basis, I don't think so. And I'll say this. If anybody out there that knows me is listening, let me know that you do so that I know because I'm curious.
I think that's what blows people's minds the few times it's happened to me is I'm just more curious what they like about it. I'm flattered, but at the same time, it's always going to be a surprise. And I've said this a thousand times. I don't care if we got 3 listeners or 3 million. It's terrifying to me that anybody wants to listen to anything I have to say. Or it's just surprising to me. But Roger one-upped his game, by the way, speaking of him, because he tweeted me, this would have been Friday, probably Friday evening, given the context of the tweets. He said, because I said I thanked him for listening and the fact that I enjoy interacting with him on Twitter. And he goes, you're right, I am awesome. And then like 30 seconds later, he tweeted to me again, also drunk. I'm like, okay. Oh, thanks, Roger. I didn't reply, I just favored it. But it's like, I love drunk tweets. When friends of mine drunk tweet or text at me, as long as it doesn't wake me up in the middle of the night, which has happened, I love those. I'm smart enough to know that I have no business being anywhere near my phone or PC when I'm drunk. It wouldn't end well for anybody. I mean, I wouldn't say anything racist or homophobic or anything like that. I'd just be ripping on people more than I do already.
Yeah. Last weekend, I was out for a few drinks with the boys, and I periscoped from a bar. Probably, I don't know if I probably should have or not, but it was a good time, and I definitely did not curse out one of our more famous local bands.
That, oh, so you did, is what you're saying?
Well, maybe not.
Maybe. Oh, God, I hate that, the local bar legends. I've been drugged like a few...
I don't mean like I curse at the guy at the bar, no, but I mean like a band who's rather, one of the more famous bands that come out of Newfoundland.
Well, I meant like local bar band that like they got a little rep and now they're like, you know, oh, you got to go see this band. They're appearing at this shithole in the wall bar. And it's like, no, I don't. No, I don't. Sometimes they're good. I like some bar bands are good because they're like good for the bar. Mm-hmm. A bar is a different type of environment because you're playing to drunks.
Yeah.
Who either want to fight or dance. One of the two, depending on the type of bar. There's always good ones in Reno and Vegas. That's about all I know. I generally tend to enjoy, and I'm not talking like anybody's heard of, but I'm just like, there's a few I can think of off the top of my head that I actually know their names because they're really good at playing a bar. Mm-hmm. You know, they understand the concept. And I mean, I've been in some pretty crappy bars, but nothing like Blues Brothers level where there's chicken wire on the stage. I don't think. If I was really drunk. Periscoping in public, you might want to be a little careful with just because of that whole privacy thing.
Yeah.
Because people seem to think that even in sitting in a bar, it's private, which I don't understand. I'm not against it if you want to think that. I just don't understand it. I figure if I'm out on the street, I'm in public.
Yeah, it's totally not.
Okay, so anything else interesting happened at this wedding? Did you get married? I'm just going to keep going with this show because it's funny.
No, I did not get married. No,
and I know it's making you fucking nervous as hell that I'm even bringing it up.
Maybe.
Yeah, see, no,
I had to have that conversation too many times during.
Are you getting that shit? That like, yes, okay, yes. How long have you?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I'm from the South. You know,
oh yeah,
a lot of my friends my age are already married. I know people that have kids that are my age, which is just like weird. You know.
Yeah, that doesn't happen as much out here. But people getting married at your age out here is pretty common. Having kids, not as much anymore. But yeah, long have you...
All the relatives were all on me about stuff, and I'm like, this is awkward. I'm going to walk away slowly.
I just hope your poor girlfriend didn't have... That's the person I always feel sorry for, because it did happen to me.
Oh, no, she was not there. She was not there.
Oh, she was not at this event. That's even better, because then she doesn't have to suffer through the... How long have you guys been dating?
Dating in July of 2013. So a little bit more than 2 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much anywhere in any country. You've been dating for too long. You now have to get married.
Yeah.
And pop out podlings. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool thing at the wedding though. They had Cocoa Puff donuts.
Say that again.
Which were really good. Cocoa Puff donuts.
Oh my God. That sounds like fucking, that sounds awesome.
So you walk into the reception area, and there was just this wall with like 500 donuts on the wall. And I walked past, and people were looking at it, and I thought it was like an art, like a weird like modern art piece, because they were just all hanging on like nails, like on this wooden board. I was just staring at them, like some kid was like poking at one on the bottom, like, do I eat this? And like no one knew anything. And then finally, the father of the bride walked by and was just like, yeah, that's food. That's not art, so you can eat it. And there's like this mad rush for all these different kinds of donuts. There's like a Rice Krispie donut. There was an Oreo donut.
I've had a Rice Krispie donut. Now those are good. They can be ruined. They're kind of difficult to make into donuts, but I have had a donut. I've essentially had a deep fried Rice Krispie. That's essentially what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Shaped in a donut form.
I really wish I had like some like a glass of milk to like dunk the donut in. I think that would have made it taste better.
Was this wedding in the South?
This was in Colorado.
That's what I thought, because you went to Grand the Gorge.
Yeah, I was at Grand Royal Gorge, which is southwest of Denver. That was cool.
This is not part of the joke, but my parents went there on their honeymoon. That's not part of the joke. That's just fact. That's one of the places they went, if I recall right, from seeing very old photos when I was a kid.
Well, it was cool. There was a bridge, over a gorge, and there was a train at the bottom. You could do zip lines over the gorge, but I did not want to do that.
So, are you afraid of heights?
Slightly. I mean, like, I'm a big fan of roller coasters and stuff. It's more just like being suspended without stuff below you, you know, like dangling.
I've been on a few. Yeah, like they have one zip line. I don't know if you guys have either of you guys have seen it. I will call her an acquaintance of mine, got stuck on it during the National Finals Rodeo last year. There's a zip line on Fremont Street, the strip with the big, you know, Vegas with the big painted, with the big fancy ceiling. What I found interesting about that, I didn't know it existed. It's been put in since the last time I was in Vegas, which has been a few years now. They put you like in a body suit, like a harness, like you're laying horizontal, and the thing broke before it got to the end while she was in it. I'd never seen one like that, and I think the reason for that is part of the reason Glace was having issues with it. I've been on two zip lines. It's fun until you get toward the end where you're supposed to be slowing down. Thing is I've never been on one or seen one that you slow down quite enough to where there's not still chance for bodily harm once you've gotten over the, you know, holy crap, that's a long drop bit. So they kind of have they're a little dangerous. So I'm not, You probably made a wise call to pass on it. One of the ones I did was from a big ass redwood tree down to the ground, and I kind of tweaked my ankle on that one.
Yeah, they were going pretty fast, and like they had like a big wall of like, you know, cushion pillows.
Yeah.
They were like slamming into it. It's like bam.
Yeah, that's the problem too, is those cushions don't, they're not very cushiony. Was this vertical or horizontal ziplining? Because like I said, the one was, go ahead.
I mean, obviously it had some sort of verticality to it, but it was more horizontal than it was vertical.
Yeah, this thing in Vegas where you're basically like in a sleeping bag harness kind of looking weird thing. If I thought her picture was, well, no, I can't put that out for the internet. It's a friend of mine, but it was weird. I'm like, what the hell is this thing? She said that, I noticed in a comment on the photo, she said, well, the only good thing was it was basically like you were laying down in a harness, so it was pretty comfortable while they got it to go to the end of the zip line. But yeah, that Royal Gorge looks cool. I've seen photos of it. I've never been there. I've actually never been to Denver for longer than about 2 hours. And I'm not talking flying. I'm talking like any time I've driven through there, I've usually only stopped for lunch or something like that and then hauled ass to Kansas.
It's huge. I mean, you look at it on a map, it doesn't seem that big. But then when you get in there, it just, you know, it spreads on forever.
Yeah, even the pictures you were showing, like the Grand Canyon never impressed me because it's just a big-ass canyon. It's massive. That looked more like something that would appeal to me. I mean, if I had an opportunity to go see the Grand Canyon, I'd probably do it, but I kind of like things that are more. I don't know. It's rough to describe exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's so. Were you gone?
That was just the first part of my trip.
I was gonna say, what? Like I thought you were only gonna be gone 2 weeks, and then you muffed the date, so it ended up being 3 weeks, almost a month. And then I got really confused what else you were doing. You said the part about your cousin's wedding, and then if you said the rest, I forgot. Basically.
So the day after the wedding, which was on a Thursday, Friday morning, I flew from Denver to Boston, and I drove up with my girlfriend's family to an island in Maine. And so we spent a week on this island with no internet or anything. So there's no way that I could like contact you guys. I totally forgot that I was going to be there that whole week.
Is this where the skinny dipping? Oh, fucking hell. Skinny dipping incident happened?
No.
Oh.
That's the ocean. I would not do that in the ocean, which is like 60 degrees. That's too cold.
Was this more interesting than Canada that time? I'm bringing that back up too, so John can make fun of you. Did we glaze you there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like make fun of New Brunswick. Oh, yeah. Hello? Mm-hmm. Yes, no?
Yeah, there you go. Your connection's been cutting out a little tiny bit, but so far it's been understandable.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So it was more fun than watching the tides.
We didn't even see the tides. I mean, I already told you about that whole trip. We just saw one instance of the water. Like to see a tide, you have to see it at more than one period of time. You know, that's why it's called a tide. But I don't know. I've been to the island before, so it was fun to go again. And I brought my camera with me this time, which was really fun because I really got to take a lot of pictures. So. Yeah, it was good. So that was I was there for a week, and then I came back here for a week, back to New Orleans, and then my girlfriend came down and visited me that next week, which is why I couldn't do last Thursday. And also, we were opening up three exhibits at the museum that I work at the same time. So, which I had totally forgotten that was going on. And then also this past week, I finally got in my Wacom 22-inch drawing tablet, which is amazing. It is beautiful. And so it's a touchscreen with a pen. So now I can do all my Photoshop work, you know, actually drawing on the screen. I've been posting some pictures on my Facebook of just me doodling things. And right now I'm just testing out the software with this new hardware with all the different things that I can do. So I haven't really made anything serious yet. I'm just trying to like test everything out, but hopefully I'll have some really cool stuff being made in the upcoming weeks. But yeah.
Those Cintiqs are getting huge. I didn't realize we were getting that big.
I could fit my entire MacBook inside of this screen. Like, that's how big this thing is.
If you get a chance, John, go cruise through Glacenator's newsfeed, because his Cintiq is literally, I mean, it's turned on its side, but it's literally the size of one of my 24-inch monitors. Like, the whole thing. Not just the screen size, but, like, the whole unit is literally,
the screen
essentially
is 2 inches, and then there's probably an extra, I'd say, maybe 4 inches on each side, maybe. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's heavy. It's not going anywhere, which is good, but.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun using it.
It had been a long time since I'd seen one. Like, I think I saw Lars De Sosa, who does Least I Could Do and Looking for Group, when the Cintiqs and the touchscreen were first. Oh, no, I know who I saw one with first was Gabe of Penny Arcade. And I think that one was only like 17 or 18 inch. I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. I can't draw, so it's not, you know, I can't, so I don't see any reason spending money on it. But he did a Ustream of him drawing the Penny Arcade cartoon. And then probably saw one other after that, and I didn't know they were getting that big. Like, when you posted the picture, I saw your comment that it said, oh, it dwarfs my MacBook. And I'm like, what? And so then I looked at it a little closer. I'm like, fucking hell, that's my 24-inch Asus monitor turned on its side. It's like, Jesus, that thing is massive. Is it heavy? Yeah. Is it really heavy, too?
It is really heavy. Here, let's see if you can... That's me trying to pick it up. I'd say it's probably maybe 30 pounds.
God damn, those things are getting fancy.
Well, there's a stand on the back, which is probably where most of the weight is, so it doesn't tip over.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's probably, I'd say it's probably maybe 20 pounds.
You can adjust that stand, though, so you could either draw
vertical or horizontal. Really cool. I can pull these levers in the back, and I can make it flat, like on my desk flat. So like if I want to draw, you know, over hunched over a bit, and then I can pull the levers back, and it goes all the way until, you know, like the vertical standing position, like a wall, which is, I usually do a little bit like in between. That way I have, you know, like sort of like a drawing easel angle. And what's also cool is that it's on like this tilt axis, so I can tilt the entire pad left and right. So, you know, sometimes when you're drawing like in a sketchbook or whatever, and you want to get a weird, you know, shading angle, you sometimes have to like turn your book a little bit or your paper and to shade at a different angle. And so I can tilt this entire screen in both directions, maybe about 20 degrees. So, I mean, it's really heavy, but it's really easy to move, even though there's so much weight on it.
I forget what Wacom's first tablet was, but I was talking to somebody on an AIM IM of all things, and they're like, what's with these tablets? He's like, I could draw a little bit, but like, I'm never going to use that. I've even got a Wacom Bamboo that I use for little bits and pieces, more for my daily work stuff than
books. Yeah, I had a Bamboo too, but you know, it was just so weird not being able to see, you know, where my hand is in space. Yeah, so this is like totally changing like my brain.
I use it for notes on designs, whether we're doing farm equipment or I'm doing a job for somebody or something. Even that is a pain in the ass with the Bamboo, because it's like, okay, I figured out how to line it up on the pad so where it corresponds with the screen, or I'll put the pen where I want it on the pad and then line it up with my mouse, which is a nuisance if you're actually trying to draw it. Easy for me to say. Actually trying to draw art. That kind of whole rigmarole is a nightmare.
Yeah, and the pad itself is not very big either.
No, you run off of it. Even my dork ass that has no artistic talent runs off
it. It's like the size of like a mouse pad, you know. So your hand is all squinched over and you can't do any big strokes at all.
Let me see if I can... stupid earbuds. Yeah, actually, I just had to look at it. Because it's in one of my file drawers. Or one of my storage drawers. Yeah, it is actually no bigger than a mouse pad. I never thought about that. But I told somebody at the time when the first Wacom, and the Bamboo was like the cheaper alternative to the big gun first Wacom.
Yeah.
I told somebody at the time that those things are going to take over, that they're eventually going to become almost like drawing on an easel. And you see these new Cintiqs, and it's just like, yep.
I mean, This thing that I have right now is industry standard. So, I mean, this is what DreamWorks, Pixar, this is the equipment that they all use. Most more professional animation colleges and programs use these as well for their students. So,
well, and for audience at home, any good webcomic you like that's survived for longer than 5 years and has good art, all use them too. Like I know Mike from Penny Arcade, Lars from Least I Could Do. I think even that grumpy old bastard Randy that does Something Positive that I still love, but I don't know how popular it is. He finally gave up and started using one. Some guys learn to draw by hand, and so it took them a long time to get comfortable with the idea of digital, and then for the technology to catch up. How's the sensitivity? Have they gotten a lot better with that on the touch screen?
I mean, it's incredibly sensitive. I mean, right now I'm hovering this pen, and I mean, I can do it what looks like pixel by pixel, just barely. And it's the tip of the mouse arrow is right underneath the pen.
So it's essentially one-to-one these days.
I mean, it gets a little weird, like when you go towards the edge of the screen, just because your eyes aren't directly over the pen, you know?
Right.
But I mean, you can calibrate it at any time. There's like a calibrate button on the side. So if you tilt the monitor or the tablet at a different angle, it's always a good idea to recalibrate it for the parallax, I guess that's what it's called, the viewing angle. So, I mean, it's really intuitive to use, honestly. I mean, the complication is when the software comes in.
Yeah, how's the software doing on your MacBook? Or is that going to have to be next?
I ran the installation disk, and that was fine. I'm running Photoshop and Illustrator straight off of my MacBook, just connecting it through the video cord. So, and I just turn off the screen brightness on my MacBook. I don't even use that monitor, really. That's more, I keep Facebook open on my MacBook now and do everything on this giant monitor. So,
well, that's essentially why I went to two monitors finally. I resisted it for a long time, but it's so nice when I'm editing the podcast that I can be listening to it in one window and have the window open so I can stop it quickly to edit.
Oh, yeah.
I can have Audacity in one window. I can have Photoshop in the other doing the crappy banners that I do every week. Yes, they are different every week. I know. They don't look like it. I've actually been using... No, I haven't. I broke that streak finally. I've actually been playing with fonts. Did you know that Photoshop comes with a lot of fonts and not all of them are crap? But yeah. Anyway... Actually, its library of fonts is actually pretty damn cool.
You can download a lot of font packs.
Oh, yeah. I have, but I just...
Like 100 font packs, which I usually do.
I just so
the,
was...
The defaults are fine, though.
Yeah, I was surprised how good the defaults were when I finally, got bored with the six that I used, three of which I downloaded, almost every week for the silly podcast banner. And I'm like, I'm just going to start playing with some of these ones. I tend to like more blocky, embossed-looking stuff, always have. So I kind of tend to default to that, but you have rightfully gotten after me every once in a while for don't use filters as much and try new stuff. And I always like it when you say that, cause then I do. And so if I catch myself doing the same thing 2 weeks in a row or 3 weeks in a row, I go, okay, I'm not going to do that this time. There's some shading and shadows I do every time because it's like, I just like how that looks. Fuck it. Five people are going to see it, but I try to do different stuff, play with different things. Hey, John, it's close to Glacinator talking for 90 minutes.
he's doing pretty good.
Well, I mean, gaming sucks so much right now because of just, the only two stories I saw this week that even, started to get me, in the podcast ranting mood, Glacinator said venting, was, the CEO of Oculus basically said that Microsoft's thing isn't anywhere near ready for consumer application yet. Humph, humph. And it's like, really, dude? Why? He was asked the question about augmented reality. Mm-hmm. He could have handled it a lot better. But it's like, how many times do we have to say, or are we going to say that? Because these fuckers get, especially that damn Oculus company. It's like, I'm almost ready to buy a Sony Morpheus and just fucking make it work on my computer. Because those Oculus guys are just like, oh, we are the best. Well, no, you still haven't proven it yet. I don't have a fucking retail release yet. Neither does the Horde. The horde will dictate what happens to you.
Yeah, you might have been the first, but not necessarily the best.
Well, not only that, they may be the best. I mean,
they might be, but.
But giving it to media, don't you think, John, giving it to media is a far different thing, even as hard as games media is trying to be journalists and failing miserably most of the time, is a far different thing than giving it to the horde.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem like that some companies still don't get that?
Yeah. I don't know what some companies think. I really don't.
I don't know if they are thinking is the problem.
Perhaps not.
And the only other thing I saw was that Battlefront's not going to have single player, so EA can go fuck themselves, as far as I'm concerned. And then somebody pointed out, rightfully so, do you guys... Glacinator might know this, because he played a lot of them. Glace, how many of the Battlefield games had an actual single player campaign?
Well, both the bad companies did.
Okay.
3 did.
Yep.
4 did.
Yep.
I don't think Hardline did they? Maybe Hardline? Well, I know the main ones usually.
Nobody
did.
Played Hard. I don't know. Nobody yeah. played Hardline. Which isn't from the footage I saw and what I played the beta, Hardline wasn't that bad a game. It was just too much like 4. It was just too much like Battlefield 4.
Did 1942 have one?
Nope.
And I don't think 2142 had one either.
Nope, and neither did Battlefield 2. Here's the thing that I got nailed with, and I love when people send me private messages on Twitter. I'm going to start retweeting you pricks in public is what's going to happen. Because you can't fucking call me names in private when I say something in public. I don't know, John, if you saw my tweets about the fact that, well, that's $60 I don't have to spend. Somebody private messaged me, and I'm kind of in a laid-back mood, so I'm not going to out them on the show, tempting as it is, that the original Battlefields didn't have any campaigns, and I'm also thinking, are you even old enough to have played Battlefield 1942, the original version? And he's right, but here's the difference. EA is convincing you, again, they did it with Titanfall, or Activision did. Who the fuck published Titanfall? I think it was... No, it was EA, because Respawn went to EA, because fuck you, Activision, because they were Infinity Ward. EA is trying to convince you to buy something with less content for $60. Battlefield 1942, Battlefield 2142, and Battlefield 2 did not cost $60 fucking dollars. I think 1942 retailed for like $45... 2142, what do you think, Glace? Probably 50-ish?
I think that was 50.
Yeah, and then I think Battlefield 2 was 45 or 50. That's less than $60. These schmucks don't get, starting with EA and then some of the fan children, don't get, they're giving us less for more money, for us giving them more money, and I don't like that. And so I'm not giving them my money. Battlefront's going to be hard. It wasn't hard with Titanfall. Because I really didn't have anybody to play it with. So that one was easier. But Battlefront's going to be hard, but fuck you, EA. I'm not giving you $60. I'm not giving you $60 for multiplayer. Oh, but you could play offline with bots. Yeah, I could do that in Battlefield 1942 as well, but for $45. Actually, I didn't pay $45 for 1942. I paid way less than that.
1942. That wasn't that. Are you talking about the downloadable one that was on?
No. That was Battlefield 1943, which EA fucked the pooch by naming it that, so it gets confusing. No, the original Battlefield game was called Battlefield 1942.
Ah.
And then it had 3 expansion packs, which you youngsters will know today is DLC. Except they were actual box product expansion packs worth of like $15 or $20 you paid for them. But no, basically, EA's trying to pull back to what they did originally with Battlefield. And honestly, I'm so easily entertained that I had a lot of fun learning how to play Battlefield properly, the original World War II 1942, playing against bots. I just started on easy and turned them up to hard. Same thing I do with Counter-Strike. But I'm not paying $60 for that. Not when I can play Fallout 4 and Just Cause 3 for $60 and get, like, I don't know, those for my... sorry ass, easily probably 90 hours a piece. That's 180 hours of gaming content for $120. I and the thing is it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like Peter Moore, who's becoming the new Liar King of the world, mostly because Peter Molyneux is retired or in hiding. And we have numbers that indicate nobody plays a single-player campaign. And you know what they're going to be able to do in 6 months? Look, Battlefront sold zillions. Nobody wants single-player. And you know the saddest part? On the Escapist, and I'm kind of sorry I deleted the link off my notes now. On the Escapist, they had a poll that said, would you play a single-player campaign? And the vote was like 95% yes, I would, to 4% no, I wouldn't. On the post where Peter Moore is telling us that we don't want it. It's like, oh, for fuck. See, so that's really all I had for this week. I can't believe I even got that ranty about it. Because it's just depressing now. It's like, who the fuck is... Who's fucking who, essentially, at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I can't decide anymore.
Well, the Battlefront series didn't have single-player campaign either.
Right, again, and that's fine, but don't charge me $60 for it. You're giving me less content. That's my whole point. It's your DLC argument, Glaze, except they're now...
Oh, no, I'm on your side of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that's potentially another reason.
Right. I have no doubt that's what EA tells themselves when they go to sleep on large piles of cash. But, and that's why I'm being twice as hard on EA in this discussion. I've defended them at times when they've gotten too bashed, but they've done this twice. It's a pattern. They're going to start doing it. And guess what? It's monkey see, monkey do in this business. Yeah, next those dicks at Ubisoft will be doing it, and then Activision will do it once the smoke and dust is settled, you know? And so it's like, thank God I don't give that much of a fuck about first-person shooters anymore, I think's really what it comes down to. You know what? And John knows it. You know what I'll do? I'll just wait. I don't care about playing multiplayer because I don't think Agent K is that interested in it. I will buy it when it's like $15 on a Steam sale and play against bots just to see how well they did. Unless it gets crapped on in reviews, then I don't have to worry about it at all. Do you do that now, John? Sometimes I see a AAA game coming out and I'll, Steam sale.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally do.
And they just, they don't seem to get that's a thing that happens.
Yeah. Well, if I may bring up a game that's coming out pretty soon, that I'm just trying to decide whether I'm gonna buy it on day one or not, is the new Super Mario Maker game. Have you guys seen this?
Yes, I have. We've talked about it a couple times.
We've mentioned it. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but what I was going to say was. On Twitter, I made a post last week about the fact that Super Mario Maker is going to be $70, a retail game. I thought this thing was like a downloadable, like $15-$20 kind of game, right? But it's $70, and at first I was a little bit hesitant to pay that much money for an editor, but the content in there, it seems to be growing by the day in terms of what you hear about. So, did you guys hear about the price? What do you think about that?
I heard about the price. Nintendo never gives me anything to figure out how to value their products on. Like, it sounds crazy from the outside, mm-hmm. but Nintendo does, like, the will drizzle out information about things.
Yeah.
So, you never have a complete picture. Like, once Peter Moore said definitively that Battlefront wasn't going to have a single player, I know everything else about the game. Fuck you, EA. I'm only saying that again because it made Glacier here to laugh. But with Nintendo, it's like when I saw the price for the Mario Maker, I'm like, because there's a lot of people that are like, oh, that's just, what the hell? Agent K called it something really nasty. It was funny, but he wasn't exactly correct either. People are calling it like basically a ripoff of this or that or the other thing. And it's like, well, yeah, probably. But again, it's Nintendo and you get to do things with Mario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody, including me, and I didn't grow up on Nintendo, has had that dream or daydream or whatever you want to call it about being able to design a Mario level.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I can't decide whether it's fair to put a price on that or if that's why they're putting it at such a high price because they know. I mean, 70, if I had a Wii U, $70 for that...
But I mean, it seems to be more than just, you know, here's your 8-bit Mario that's transferable into the other versions of Mario. You know, like just the same assets you can use you had back in the day. They seem to be adding a whole lot more stuff into it, not just your bullet bills and bushes and clouds and blocks. You know, it's every time I see one of these video game journalists on there, what to me feels like bragging about they've been playing Mario Maker for weeks and it's not coming out for 2 more bloody weeks, and they're going on about, oh, it's so amazing, and oh, I've made so many levels, and oh, I'm sharing with all my friends, and I'm like, you sons of bitches, what this game is not out yet, and it's going to cost $70, but at least what they're showing me is that there's a lot of variety in there that I didn't realize, and I hope it's $70 worth of variety. But it looks interesting. I have an un I heard I read an unconfirmed report that you can also do some Zelda levels in there as
What
well.
makes me think that it's worth the price is how passionate every time I've seen Miyamoto talk about it, or every article I've read, they made a point of saying how excited he seemed talking about it. The most recent one I think I saw was at Gamescom. I apologize if Miyamoto wasn't there. It was recently. He was at something. And so that kind of indicates to me that it's, if he's that passionate about it, and he's pretty low-key guy, it's probably got enough bang for the buck. But I like I said, I don't have a Wii U, so it'd be a tough decision, but I have an idea I'd cave. I don't know, how about you, Glace? You're the designer slash artist of the crew. What's your thoughts on this whole Mario Maker thing?
Well, I mean, if it's a Nintendo game, it's going to, if it's a Nintendo first party game, it's going to be overpriced no matter what it is, and it's going to stay overpriced. I mean, Super Smash Bros. Brawl for the Wii is still like $50 in store right now. And all first party games for even past systems have been like that and are going to continue being like that. I mean, I was thinking about getting Captain Toad when they announced it, but then they said it's going to be a $40 price point, and I just couldn't justify that amount of levels for $40. I thought about getting it during the sale, but even $30 or whatever it was, that still felt like a lot to eat up a lot of room on my hard drive. And that game's probably going to stay at $40 for another 3 years, maybe. I mean, Nintendo is like a bad crack dealer. Like this, the system is super cheap and they get you hooked, but if you want the good stuff, you got to dish out the 70, $60 because they know you're going to pay that $60 no matter what. And they don't bother changing it because people continue buying it, myself included, so.
You know, it's funny because I used to think it was only Nintendo 2. Next time you're on Steam, dude, go look at the prices of COD.
Oh yeah, it's
Go
crazy.
look at the prices of a lot of the big billion sellers that you would think if you want to pad sales numbers, you'd drop the price after a
But
year.
those do go on sales though.
Not for jack fucking dick all. I mean, like Modern Warfare 2 on Steam is still like $30, and when it was on the Steam summer sale, it was 25.
Yeah, it's crazy how
It's
expensive all this is.
nuts how bad Activision has gotten about that, and they learned it from Nintendo. Nintendo is still worse. I've never seen their stuff go down. Like if you go beyond COD Modern Warfare 2, which is ludicrous in and of itself, then it gets dirt cheap. But even if you go look on Amazon, they're never on sale. EA does it a little bit with Battlefield, but Activision does it with a lot of their stuff.
You know, it's funny. I was at my local Walmart, and I don't blame this on Nintendo's pricing, but they still had Metroid Other M on for $65.
That's a big company not understanding what.
I had a laugh at that one.
I feel sorry for whoever buys that for that much.
Is that the one from Ninja?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that. You know what's funny? I saw a quote about that now that you bring it up. I saw a quote about that game about 3 weeks ago. That was a great Metroid game for people who were not Nintendo fans. And the guy had a point in that everybody who played it who wasn't a diehard Nintendo fan loved it, or a diehard Metroid fan, because it's Team Ninja and they're still fucking awesome. But everybody that had like a preconceived notion of what Metroid is or loved Metroid, it did not like it at all. But I've seen crapper games like that too. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great game, but I found the dichotomy fascinating of who ended up liking it, who didn't. Sad thing is I wish it sold better because it kind of scared Nintendo off of letting anybody else touch their first party stuff.
Especially Metroid. Yeah. There hasn't been one since.
Yeah, well, that's the other problem. They just kill stuff.
But the soccer, Metroid Prime soccer shooters.
Get out of here.
Wasn't that Japan only, though? I've seen it, but wasn't that Japan only?
No, that's coming out here. That was the big E3 announcement.
Oh, you guys haven't seen enough of that to be crapping on it yet. I haven't seen anything else on that since E3, and we didn't see shit then.
It's a multiplayer. It's a multiplayer Metroid game. The soccer component. I don't know if it's the full game, but it's definitely part of it.
Well, that's Nintendo's fault for showing that. As it was explained to me, that's going to end up being more like Four Sword Adventures with Zelda. That's just what I know at this point. I don't care because I'm not going to play.
Which one? The Zelda one, you mean?
No. The Metroid one is supposed to be like in the same vein, same kind of fun as the old four-player GBA Zelda. Whatever the fuck.
Oh, okay.
See, yeah. I
see what you're saying, Bruce. Yeah.
But they fucked up big time by what they showed at E3. Because they're all doing that, though. They don't show what we need to know to understand if it's something we're going to want to play. You know, it's like, I put it out of my head. You know, I remember you guys kind of boo-hissing at it when we did the E3 show. And I just put that stuff out of my head because it's like, I don't have enough information to even make an informed decision. And I have plenty of other people who are making uninformed decisions. It's just like, I'm going to tell you people now, and I know educators and listen to the show, so I've got a lot of room here. They are changing Final Fantasy VII's combat, and all you nerds that fucking said Sony wins everything forever or whatever are going to be so fucking angry. And he and I are having a big fucking argument about this. He's happy they're changing it from the turn-based 90s crapper combat, and I'm with him on that. He just does not believe that the nostalgia nerds are going to shit themselves because they dared to change Final Fantasy VII. I'm telling you, this is going to be the most delicious outrage ever, and it's like watching a tsunami. You know you're fucked, but you're just going to enjoy watching it come in. I mean, I'm not fucked in this case because I don't care, but they are tinkering with that Final Fantasy VII remake, and when it got announced at E3, I'm like, there's no way they're going to do that without monkeying with it. Nobody can help themselves from monkeying with it, you know? But no, I don't remember. The reason I'm being kind of coy about it is I don't remember who had seen more of that Zelda game and told me about it or I read something. But it's supposed to be like in the same vein as that. Wasn't that called Four Sword Adventures?
Yeah, it was called Four Sword Adventures.
You guys have really had me scared there for a second. I'm like, what the fuck? Maybe I dreamed up the name. Things that stick in my head, it's always funny because Penny Arcade did a great comic about it where a guy was basically like, great, now I'm $500,000 in the punchline was, to play this game, now I'm $500,000 in the hole and sucking dicks at the Olive Garden to pay my mortgage. Because, you know, you needed to like have four friends and all that other stuff. And some people were pissed at the time about that. It's like, what? I got to have four people and hook them up and yada, yada. It ended up doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything's wireless. I mean, Glaze, did you take your 3DS with you on your trip?
Yeah, of course.
Street Pass anybody?
Oh, I didn't check. I should do that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, it's all wireless. I didn't
check.
Oh, God. I didn't think about John getting a little upset about this. How dare you? Your me needs you.
I was too busy playing Mario Party.
Now there's some people who hate Mario Party because of its randomness, and now you're just pissing more people off. Did you
Mario
guys
Mario Party should be played instead of the World Poker Championships?
Give it time. John, are you gonna cave and just buy the Mario Maker?
Probably.
You have a kid. I mean, I know it's $70 and it shut up, Glaze, because you're gonna do the same thing. You're gonna get it. You can't help yourself, dude. I know you both.
I gave the crack metaphor already, so.
Yeah, see? So don't laugh at John. I'm the only one allowed to laugh because I'm...
I just he sounded so defeated.
Yeah, because but that's the thing. I mean, that's how Nintendo stays in business. They're like a fucking pimp, and you guys are the prostitutes. Just accept it and move on. I'm the same damn way with early access survival games. We all prostitute to something. It happens. What are you going to do? Although I'm hiding in Worm trying to keep fucking Agent K from making me buy more of them. He's like found three more. He's like, oh, you'd love this. I'm like, shut up. Go away. Just go away. Log out. I'm hiding in here for the rest of the summer. Fuck off. And now he's figured out I am actively hiding in there because I just don't want to play anything new right now. I just want to be mellow and chill and grind my brains out, and that's what Worm is great for. And now he's more relentless. Dude, you'll love this. Shut up. But I mean, that's the thing. But John, the thing about it to me, like if I was in your shoes, it's probably like borderline spoiling the child. But that is a game made for Peter, like made for kids to be able to do stuff with.
Yeah,
that's the other thing that I'm sitting here thinking, like, you're screwed. That's why you have that. That's why he had the defeated sigh, because he's like, he knows. He might not get it on release day, but it'll be in his household before Christmas.
See, he's got an excuse, you know. That's for the kids, you know.
You're still a kid. You're still a kid, technically. So, I mean, you don't need an excuse.
I'm registered to vote. I have car insurance.
So, okay, the second one convinced me more than the first one did. Because there's a lot of people who are registered to vote who shouldn't be. Or who shouldn't be allowed to. Just take a look at the candidates.
I can't rent a car yet for cheap, though. So.
Oh, that's right. You get the extra ding, don't you?
Yep.
Because you're not trustworthy.
Yep.
I have to apologize to you personally, because some things I did with rental cars, maybe while drinking or not drinking, is probably the reason why you're getting fucked now. Full insurance. By the way, don't try and get full insurance on it at your age either, because that don't work anymore.
Oh, no.
They're going to go, oh, okay, for an extra couple hundred bucks. Yeah, that's right. You have to be 23 now?
Is it? I just turned 23.
That's what I thought.
Is it 23 or is it 24? Oh, wait. I'm about to have an exciting day if I was wrong.
Did you just get ripped off?
In a car for no reason.
Did you just get ripped off on a car rental?
No, I haven't rented anything.
Maybe it is 24. I don't remember. It used to be 21 and you were good to go. They wouldn't.
I think it's under 25.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. So you actually have to turn 25. That kind of makes sense.
I mean, I can rent one, but I get all the crazy charges.
Yeah, yeah.
If I turn 25, then all those charges go away.
Well, essentially what it is they make you have full insurance that you pay for up front.
Yeah.
Like, I can go get one without all the extra doodads. And then if I wreck the car, I've got to pay for the car.
Yeah.
Some of those doodads are worth the money. I mean, I don't do crazy, stupid shit hardly at all these days. So if I rented a car, I'm going to drive like a fucking old person with my blinker on and, just, you know, go to the airport and go wherever I'm going and go back to the airport. But some of that is so that, you know, I mean, because hell, honestly, if you rented a car, Glace, that you'd never owned before, you're going to drive it a little fast, at least for 5 minutes anyway. it's human nature, man. And you're a dude, so it kind of happens.
You may have misjudged how much of an old man I actually am.
I still love to go fast in cars. I just don't like paying for speeding tickets. That's my biggest problem. I go to a track now and drive other people's cars. I make no bones about it. I used to be horrible. The fact that I've only had 2 speeding tickets is a fucking miracle. I used to drive everything I was given to drive or owned as fast as it possibly would go. And on the open road, I've always been a grandpa about neighborhoods. Some of the people in my neighborhood that drive around as fast as they do, I just want to punch them. I just want to throw a punch them. Because it's like, really? We're in a neighborhood. What are you proving by driving like an idiot in a fucking neighborhood? In a residential area? Are you trying to cut down on the cat population? I happen to like the cats in this neighborhood for the most part.
Christ, with the kid population.
And, you know, it's funny enough, they're contained. It's almost like my own personal insane asylum. There's a cul-de-sac straight across from me now, and the children seem to stay in there. May or may not be because I put up a snow fence. No, I don't. I'm fine with kids. My dog goes nuts about kids. She barks at him, mostly because she wants him to come over and talk to her. But kids don't bother me. I always think, maybe Glacier's not like this, maybe he screams at him, but I always think that, like, when I hear kids being loud, and riding their bikes or skateboards or stuff. I start to get like old man cranky about it, and then I think, you know what? I was twice as bad as those kids. and then it just goes away. Because, you know, I rode skateboards back before X Games and shit, so we were really not liked in the neighborhood. It's like, oh, yeah, skateboards are like the skateboards for me were like the are like the equivalent of D&D in gaming. Like first skateboards, then pot, then heroin, then Satanism, and cut your hair. You know, it was essentially. Especially growing up in this rural area. And it's like, I most of the kids I skated with turned out okay.
But between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., you can be as loud as you want. And I don't care if you're outside.
You really go to bed that early anymore, Grandpa?
No, no. I'm just saying, I might if I have work the next day.
Dude, seriously? What is wrong with you?
I told you that you misjudge how old I am.
Even I don't go to bed at 9 o'clock, like when I gotta go irrigate the ranch or do stuff.
Well, I don't go to bed at 9. Like, oh, you know, I go to bed like 10:30.
Have your
like,
Jello.
You want to have, you know,
Jello and a multivitamin and fucking InBev lights up. Please tell me.
Take my dentures out.
I was just gonna say, please tell me I'm making a joke. Don't confirm it. I don't want my life ruined that badly. Oh shit! So I mean, do you think you'll buy it day one, John? Going back to whatever topic we had.
Sorry, what?
Do you think you'll buy it day one, or you use the Peter needs it for Christmas excuse?
Well, to be honest, the fact that we just bought him Lego Jurassic World might put a small delay on my buying that game.
I'm going to make your life worse as a parent. The other thing you should check out if it's being updated is the Lego kind of survival game that Lego created. It's like $15 on Steam. Totally kid-friendly. I played a demo version of it. Let's just call it that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's been updated a few times. I still have not bought a copy. Because, again, I already have 1,000 survival games I don't play. But I was really impressed with... Lego is such an amazing company. Even I put them on par with Nintendo making kids stuff. That's cool for adults too. All the Lego games, that survival games the same way. Like you could do things in it that like make you laugh hysterically. Like okay, so maybe I'm not the stereotypical adult. So maybe people wouldn't be doing what you can make a giant penis with Legos is what I'm trying to say. And then eat it with a T-Rex.
Oh good. Good. That's the only thing I need.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Everybody thinks I'm the weird one. He's not much better than I am is the problem. He just hides it better than I do.
You gotta put that shit in the box.
What, giant penis with a T-Rex on it?
Yeah, that's a feature, like a checkbox, you know?
I think the ESRB would kick up the rating a little bit. If that was the, like, the... Well, since it's all digital.
Just change it from penis to wiener, you'd be okay.
Make it a hot dog. Like it totally looks phallic, but you put a hot dog butt on it, like it's got a coat on, and then it's okay. I wonder if that'd work. I wonder if just the simple act of drawing an actual phallus, I'm only saying phallus instead of penis because I like the word phallus, draw an actual phallus, helmet and all, with a turtleneck or not, however you like, and then just put a hot dog bun on it. I wonder if that'd slide by. I bet it would. Because you got to believe those ESRB.
Slide by?
Yeah, shut up. I actually did do that one on purpose. I said slide by, not slide in. See, in is the key word there to make the sex joke. The only thing that proves any of us have ever had sex is the fact that John has a kid when we do shit like this. Because we sound like I'm going to listen to that bit in about an hour and I'm going to go, that sounds like the three of us are virgins. This is stupid. None of us are, by the way. Well, I'm not speaking for Glacinator and I'm not going to embarrass him because I've already made too many wedding jokes. John and I are, and I can tell you that much. A, because John has a child, and B, because I'm an unmitigated whore. So, there you go. Oh! Speaking of that, John, I learned something about Metallica I never knew.
Oh, what's that?
The other day. Did you know that they appeared on the MTV Europe Music Awards and played So What?
Really?
They got pissed off. It was like a random YouTube thing. I was watching some Metallica, or I was listening to Metallica music while I was doing paperwork. And there was like this chunk of a documentary. And, you know, those guys have made so damn many of those damn different things. And they put stuff up on Metallica TV. But anyways, it was this bit of this documentary. It wasn't some kind of monster or anything like that. Where they're talking about, I guess they got jerked around about whether they were appearing or not, and appearing or not, so they told them they were going to play, I think they told them they were going to play For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out live on the MTV Europe Music Awards and played So What.
Wow.
If you don't know, So What has, I can't curse that much in 2.5 minutes. It has more fucks and cunts in it than any song. The original band was Inhuman League, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah, see if you can track it down on YouTube. It's hilarious watching James up there. And literally, it's all beeps. Like, I like proper censoring. Or some censoring is funny. Like, South Park censoring is funny. You know, it's almost funnier than hearing the words. But this was, like, ridiculous. Have you ever heard this song we're talking about, Cliff Snyder?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say. There's a lot. The only line, like the first time I heard it, and I think I heard it on Garage Days, I've now since heard the original. The line with the goat was the only one where I went, what? Even I went, what? Oh my god. Okay. But yeah, I learned that the other day on YouTube, that they played the MTV, then did that, and I went, I love this band even more. I've also now seen a lot of the 30th anniversary shows.
Yeah, they were good, eh?
I'm happy that they're on good terms with Newstead again.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some kind of monster. I kind of agree with Newstead that a lot of that should have probably stayed private. If you ever want to see a good psychedelic, if you have not seen Some Kind of Monster by Metallica, either Glacinator or audience at home, I'd hunt it down in one way or another. Because I walked out of watching it, or I got done watching it, and there's a lot of stuff about James that I thought, if it had been me, I would have kept that private. And Jason Newsted kind of feels that way too in some interviews I've seen with him. But the fact that they, you know, that they kind of buried the hatchet with Mustaine, which was obviously much worse, and then, you know, brought Newstead back in, and the shows were really good, and the fans were really into it. I was really impressed,
mm-hmm.
You know. Because, I mean, even Lars has said that the Metallica that exists today is basically what Jason wanted. And that's always bugged me, you know, yeah. that had to happen. For him to, you know, for Metallica to be reborn into what they're, and shit, I've seen stuff from them earlier this year. You saw them recently. They still kick as much ass as, almost as much ass as they did when I saw them on Day on the Green in 92.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They tear it up, man.
They love playing live. They still, even, I mean, they're all dudes in their 50s. And they, Trujillo may not be. He's, actually, that's the other thing I need to update you about, John, since we're just doing a potpourri show again. He's growing on me. I went back and finally listened to Death Magnetic all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And his play style and his bass has grown on me significantly. I think my biggest blockage was, even with the album that was mixed incorrectly, according to some fans, I just like Newstead's style. And so anybody replacing him took me a long time to get used to. But make no mistake, Robert Trujillo is an amazing bassist.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
It just took me a while to get used to him being part of Metallica, I think.
Well, I mean, he's been in the band longer than Newstead was.
At this point, yes. Yeah, I think it's actually, what was it, this year or last year, he's now been in... Newstead was in for 15 years.
Yeah, he was, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, well, no, if the other thing you should watch sometime, John, if you get a chance, is it's called, just search Scuzzy Meets Jason Newstead on YouTube. Really great interview with him,
mm-hmm.
where he talks about a lot of stuff that has gotten blown out of proportion over the years about his time at Metallica. And he's very honest, but he's also very classy is not the right word, but he's very, he doesn't throw anybody under the bus. He's not a dick about it. And yet the answer still, as far as I'm concerned, as honest as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
You know, I still love him telling the story of throwing that fucking douchebag from some kind of monster out of the fucking meeting he had when he left Metallica. That sports psychologist douche canoe. That was the only thing that I'm like, did they put that in on purpose? Like, was this an actor? Like, that's the only thing about some kind of monster. I'm like, come on. This guy's not going to. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
and I'm a believer in therapy and psychology. I don't have an issue with that. But that dude, he looked like a used car salesman wearing a bad Christmas sweater. Like, ugh. So, Glace, while you were gone, did anything in the tech world, nerd world, third world, or this world catch your eye that you're like, oh, I wish I could have talked about that on the show?
Well, I saw that John got a new bike. You guys probably already talked about that, though.
What?
Yeah, I won a bike.
I did not hear about the bike. I somehow missed this. I heard you say you needed a helmet the size of a bucket, and somebody posted that great fucking picture of Homer Simpson wearing a bucket. And I remember thinking to myself, I feel sorry for you, John, because I have the same problem. And I rode motorcycles for years and finding helmets that fit comfortably. Mm-hmm. It's an even bigger bitch now because I'm a snob and prefer carbon fiber for like my mountain bikes, which is even harder to, like, you pay for carbon fiber by the pound when you have a head like mine. I don't own a carbon fiber helmet for that reason, because I could buy a Corvette ZR1 or half of a Corvette ZR1 for cheaper than I could a carbon fiber helmet. Plus I'm such an art jerk because I just like the way carbon fiber mesh looks. So you want a bike. What kind of bike is this?
Hold on now. If the folks at home will indulge me while I just check my feed for the actual name of the bike. But it's the reason why I want it is that Wanda and Peter and I went to this family fun event at the local park at Bowring Park. It was called the Miles for Smiles event. And it's put off by Shannon Tweed, who is Gene Simmons' wife. And she's actually from Newfoundland. And she and her sister put on this event. And so, like, the Miles for Smiles has to do with biking and fitness and all that kind of great stuff, right? So anyway, at the event, they had, you know, free stuff for families. So they had free bouncy castles. They had free laser tag. They had hot dogs and popcorn and face painting, all that normal stuff. And while we were in the lineup for laser tag, this guy wanders up and asks me if I want to buy a ticket on a bike. And it's a $10 ticket, which I thought was a little pricey for, you know, just a draw. And he said, well, there's only 200 tickets being sold. So I thought that was pretty decent odds, so I bought it. And then after we finished laser tag, you know, the three of us left and we went for a hike on one of the trails close to the park. And when we came back, you know, everything was done. Everything was, they were closing up shop and never thought anything of it. And so, once that happened, we went to the car, and someone I knew from my hometown drove up and he said, hey man, you won the bike. I got the bike, you know, on my bike rack on the back of the truck. I was going to drop it off to your place. And I said, you know, I couldn't believe it that we actually won the bike. So, it's like a $700 bike. I've almost found it. Pardon me while I read my feed. It's a Norco Indy 3.
Holy shit, that's a good bike.
Yeah, it's a sweet bike. I've rode it a couple times now since I got it. And got my helmet and stuff. Yeah, it's a sweet bike. It's they rode it across the province, and Shannon Tweed autographed it and stuff like that. Got my picture taken for this Miles for Smiles event, and yeah, it was pretty cool.
I'm actually surprised. I usually see like you two and Pat and a couple others are the I always kind of catch your feed. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I did miss it. I just missed it. Oh, it's a road weenie bike. Oh, man, you can't go down hills with that thing. Okay, that's the only joke I'm going to do. because I ride downhill mountain bikes.
Yeah,
but that thing has ever been as much as my Haro downhill mountain bike cost me originally.
it's definitely a street bike. I mean, the tires on it alone are not like. They aren't off-road and type tires. They're definitely for street. But
I love the look of the bike. That frame and geometry looks really comfortable. I'm probably nerding out on both John Glaze and the entire audience, but that looks like a super comfy bike. And I'm not a big fan of riding on the streets. I mean, like I have a $300 Specialized cross country bike for trail riding or the rare times I ride on the road, but. Which is nothing compared to some of these, but that's a really nice bike. So did the helmet cost you more than the bike did?
It cost me more than the ticket did, that's for sure.
That's the problem. If you've got to get anything in an extra large when it comes to helmets, those of you that have pea heads, be thankful for them. You may not like them sometimes, but if you got to buy a fucking helmet for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, around here, your average price we bought a helmet for Peter, and they're in the 20. I mean, at your local Walmart or Canadian Tire, they're in the $25 to $35 range, or you can go a little bit higher if you want. And my helmet was $50, adjustable size and all that kind of stuff.
That's still not bad, but I'm assuming it's the half. It's like the half helmet, the traditional bicycle helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I don't even own one of those because, again, downhill mountain bike. I currently wear one of my old motocross helmets because it's not as light as some of the bike helmets, but it fits my fat head and it's comfortable and it's light enough. So right. I haven't had to get, don't do this at home, kids. I don't wear a helmet. If I'm riding on the street, I don't wear a helmet. You should never do that. Let old people like me who one more smack to the head and it's all over but the shouting, do that. Just because in a lot of cases I'm not, no, it's just stupid, but I don't. I just don't wear a helmet if I'm cruising around on the street. Because the cool thing about a downhill bike, especially the hardtail I've got, is you can also kind of do like BMX balance stuff, almost bike parkour,
right?
Which I'm too damn old for at this point, but I'll occasionally bounce on a curb or something like that, or fart around. I know some youngsters a little older in Glacier that drag me out every once in a while, make fun of me because I'm in no shape. that's the thing. You want to get in shape, John? I will tell you this, non-work related for me, the best thing that's ever gotten me in shape is riding.
Mm-hmm.
You will die 1,000 deaths in your legs the first couple weeks if you stick with it consistently, or find a way to stick with it consistently. But once you do, dude, it's like I said, it to me, it's the best non-gym exercise I've ever found. It beats the hell out of running.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous because you're doing basically the same thing. but somehow on a bike, it doesn't annoy me as much as when I run. Do you own a bike, Clays? New Orleans.
Oh yeah. Well, actually. Well, I used to own a bike, and then I got jumped in the French Quarter while riding it.
Well, that's bullshit. Which is
that's a story. But so, I mean, my dad just recently bought a new bike. So I've been – actually, when my girlfriend was down here, we both went on a bike ride together. She rode on my mom's bike, and I rode on my dad's bike. But I mean, growing up, I rode around the whole neighborhood here, which is, I mean, great as a kid because the streets here are so bad that no one drives fast, like in my neighborhood, because of all the potholes. So you can ride in the middle of the street, and if there's a car coming, they're probably going like 7 miles per hour, you know. And New Orleans is completely flat as well, so there's not really big hills that you have to worry about going around or anything. So you can get anywhere within like 25 minutes.
You're supposed to go up those for exercise.
Well, I mean, you can go up the levee, I guess, but...
and then fall in.
Yeah. You go up and then you go down the other side. We, as kids, we, like, have races down the side of the levee.
Yeah, I've always... I still think that's a kid thing. Even in this kids with iPads generation. I mean, first, I had a BMX bike when I was a little kid, and then graduated to I graduated to a dirt bike. That's slightly different. Just a little bit different. Goes a lot faster and costs a lot more to maintain. Oh, the other thing I'll tell you too, John, take that to a bike shop to get it serviced. You're gonna bitch about how much they want to charge you. But it's just so much easier. I do some of the maintenance on my bike, but most of the time, at least I at least take my Haro in for yearly service to my local bike shop. Because they just do it so much better. And I'm getting lazier.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll try to take care of it for sure.
Well, I spent so many years wrenching on my own dirt bikes now, it's just like, why? If I've got the $50-$75, they do it. They fix my they tried fixing the seat I bent. Stocks, oh, that's the other thing to be careful of. If you ever wreck on those, the stock seats aren't very good. Hopefully, if she rode that, it has an aftermarket seat put on it. Because I've yet to, in any of the newer road bikes or mountain bikes, I've yet to see a stock seat that just is worth the crap for anything. I kind of knew it when I bought that Haro. And so I bought that Haro when I was living in Alabama. And so I just called the place and ordered an aftermarket seat that I knew was a good company. And sure enough, I crashed my bike probably 2 weeks after that. And I had the other seat already ready to go, and it just tacoed the seat when I crashed. Thankfully, it didn't hit me. It hit something on the ground and just bent the front of it. The best thing is not fall off, which if you're just riding on the road with Peter, I seriously doubt you're going to fall off.
Yeah, I mean,
so now that I've jinxed you, you will fall off.
Well, I'm sure I'll probably fall off at some point. But I mean, one of the great things about the bike is that I'm hoping that it'll encourage Peter to get the training wheels off his current bike. You know what I mean? Just he sees me going around there. I think it might encourage him.
I wonder what that. I have often wondered, because my dad loves telling a story that I was horrible about wanting training wheels off. And I bet Gleiss was the same way, and maybe you were too, John. It's so funny to me, because it's like, once you have that freedom of no training wheels, you feel so awesome, but that first little bit is so terrifying. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fall over.
I don't think, growing up, I had training wheels. I don't recall ever having them on my bike. Because my mom bought me this bike. It was like a banana seat, is it called a banana bike?
Well, they're called banana seats. I don't know what the bike was, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's what I had. That was my first, you know, actual bike. And, you know, it was, I just don't recall ever having training wheels. Doesn't mean I didn't, but.
Clayce, did you have training wheels, or were you one of the cool kids like John? It's possible it didn't, John, I suppose.
No, I had training wheels. I mean, you sort of need it here growing up because it's so bumpy.
Yeah,
lots of poles and stuff.
Don't get me wrong. Now, I did have a tricycle. You know, that's probably what I rode first. But I mean, in terms of an actual bike, I think I went right into the two wheeler.
Coolest kid's toy ever. I think we had a trike for me and my sister to share. But coolest kid's toy ever. Listen up, inventors, people who want to make money. I would buy an adult version of this. Was the big wheel. I had a big wheel, and I want one. I want an adult size one. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
The old timey
one? It has a big wheel.
No. I'm not calling it right. It was kind of like a trike, except it was plastic. It was more John and I's generation. It was a three wheeler. It was like,
big plastic thing.
Yeah. What the hell was that called?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, dude. I want an adult size version.
Like the Fisher Price sort of thing.
That hurt my. Yeah, it was called a big wheel. I was right. Yeah, tell big wheel.
It has a big wheel on the front.
Well, I thought you meant like one of those old-timey bikes.
No. Like a red tricycle.
Yeah, the big wheel. No, dude, it's way cooler than your standard trike. Are you kidding me? I want an adult version of this. I'm going to look, see if they make an adult version of this. Actually, one of the people I play Worm with has me intrigued, because she owns a recumbent bike, and she loves the damn thing. And now I'm... Oh my God, they did make a big version of... Oh no, it's a fucking chopper. God damn it. I want a pedal one. That's what I'm talking about. I had one of those as a kid, dude. I was the coolest kid in the neighborhood, because I think I was one of the few that had one. It was so fucking awesome. But that's kind of what I learned to ride on. And then we had the... yeah, here we go. This looks like my childhood. That's pretty accurate, I'd say. Take a gander at that. I don't necessarily agree with the message, because my knees would probably be in better shape, but... Take a look at that picture.
Yeah, that's the one.
No, the second picture.
Yeah, that's how we rolled.
I can tell you that's kind of how my big wheel met an end when I got older. Because we used to have the cul-de-sac that I was joking about the children being in earlier used to be a field at my parents' house, and then behind the house was a pond, and so like we had plenty of places to go build like dirt jumps and stuff, and the big wheel was getting older and it was kind of falling apart, so we just started jumping it off stuff we were jumping our bicycles on. I don't know if it ever broke and then got given to like a younger cousin of mine or something, but I know it didn't survive jumping too well. Yeah, I'm not. It's a funny slogan, but at the same time, I'm all for knee pads, helmets. I can tell you that put helmets and stuff on your children. Trust me. I mean, it's a no brainer, and I know everybody does it, but.
No brainer.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. Okay, this is the final one. Then we'll do the. Yeah. Okay. This is the final picture I'm going to show you guys. And no, this was not me. Nor do I endorse it, but it's funny. There you go. Take a look at that one. I'm going to have to cut out that. Glacinator, are you even looking at these?
That's I like the Batman guy back there.
I knew Glacinator was going to. I'm so proud of you, Glace. The ring rust is off of you.
Yeah, that's totally a podcast banner, right?
No, it's not big enough. And I don't want people thinking, nah, forget it. I probably don't want to know what people think in the first place. If it's, let me pop it back up and see. Yeah, first off, it's got people in it. I try not to put actual people in the banner, and it's the wrong size. It was a vertical iPhone shot or smartphone. Anything else, gents? I think it's been a roaring good show for the first time for the three of us back.
Yeah, it's good. I'm all done.
Glace?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad to be back.
He's over there playing with his Cintiq, is what he's doing.
No, I actually, because the internet's so bad, if I open up anything, the quality just poops out.
I wondered if the Cintiq being plugged in and running was maybe
no,
causing
it's,
that.
It's, I think it's just the house internet. Yeah, my brother's supercomputer conked out last week, and so I think they're downloading Windows 10 or something right now. I don't know. So
yeah, I'm gonna upgrade eventually, but I'm holding out. It's getting better. They're getting some of the kinks worked out, and all the crap that you're gonna want to do away with is being. Wait a minute, his OS crashed on that thing?
Yeah,
Michael.
No, and both me and my other brother tried fixing it, and that's a really weird problem. I mean, we went into like the terminal mode, you know, before you boot up completely, and it doesn't even register that the OS is activated.
Oh, I know what happened. BIOS fucking took a dump on you. Yeah, no way to fix that except you can.
I mean, we tried watching tutorials, going through, taking everything out, putting it back in. We brought it in to get fixed. The people there said the same thing, so we're just doing a clean wipe on it.
Yeah, it's about all you could do. There's one other thing I could recommend or at least talk to you about, like off the show, but yeah, that's a BIOS issue. And I've had that happen before. It's just wipe it and start over. The good news for him is probably his biggest thing was his Steam library, and you can read
and
it.
You can re-download the Steam. So yeah, it's not a big deal at all.
No. So on that note, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a ton of ways you can do that. The first off is our Facebook. It's WonderPod Online. All one word, WonderPod Online. We have a website. It's WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPodOnline.com, where Pat is back with the rare replay stuff. I'm wondering how long until Glace gets it. It's the next thing. He's got a bunch of videos on there about the rare replay. You can go watch those. Maybe it'll help you decide if you want to play it. I got to admit, it gave me nostalgia for a lot of rare games. I also post this podcast there, and when I do, I post an embedded player, so you can listen to it on embedded player if you want. If you're looking for the MP3s, we are on iTunes, just search WonderPod. We are on iTunes, just search WonderPod. If you don't like iTunes, we are on archive.org. You can also search for WonderPod. We have YouTube channels, the aforementioned Pat with his 36 Wii YouTube channel. My YouTube channel, which doesn't have a hell of a lot going on right now. The Olivia Made This. Wait a minute. I just fucked that up. No, I didn't. Olivia Made This YouTube channel. The What Chris Does YouTube channel. Gleister's got a YouTube channel that he never uses. Ah, fuck it. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online. At WonderPod Online. And if none of that works for you, we've got an email address. It's WonderPod at WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPod at WonderPodOnline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM.
And follow me on Twitter and Periscope at John Kehoe, JONKEHOE.
Until episode 266. And hopefully my headphones are here. I'm out of here. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.